Hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast, the only podcast that grows with you through all seven stages of your journey as a founder. I'm your host, Scott Ritzheimer, and there's a specific trap that catches almost every startup entrepreneur off guard. It's that moment, you're there or you've been there, that moment that you realize you're spending more time answering emails, scheduling calls, or managing just administrative nonsense than actually building your organization or doing the things that you feel like will move you forward. And it's not that you tried to get there. You launched with the hopes of freedom, you know, the ability to make a difference. And instead of feeling liberated to focus on growth, you feel like you're drowning in the very tasks that are too small to actually hire someone for, but are just consuming all of your day. And so we tell ourselves, well, we just have to muscle through. We'll deal with that later. But we end up working 12-hour days, and more and more and more of those 12-hour days go to stuff that doesn't actually move you forward. And you find out you're building a job for yourself instead of actually building an organization, whether it be a business or a nonprofit. And so what do you do about it? Well, here to help us break the cycle is Renee Hastings, who is the president and CEO of Executive Help Now, a premier virtual assistance agency with over 15 years of experience. Renee and her team deliver expert administrative support, podcast production, and business consulting services to small business owners, content creators, and busy executives. Starting her journey in 1996, Renee holds a degree in business management and has been a Dale Carnegie Leadership Training Coach. She's appeared on NBC's KCRA News 3 and now serves as an inspirational speaker, podcast host, philanthropist, and small group Bible study coach. Her mission, freeing up time for life's more important moments. She's here with us today. Renee, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here.
Thank you, Scott. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, let's start right out of the gate here. You've been working with entrepreneurs since the late 90s. You've been doing this for a minute or two, and I'm sure that you've seen this pattern 1,000 times, but you've got the startup entrepreneur, they go full time. And instead of, you know, the glory that they're expecting on the other side, it's just the grind. So what is it? Why is it that so many entrepreneurs become less productive after going full time?
I think one of the biggest reasons why entrepreneurs become less productive after going full time in their business is because they try to do it all themselves. They feel like there's so much to be done. And it's not that they just feel like it. There really is. There really is all the work that's got to be done in marketing and in legal things, getting the business all set up on all of the finances and bookkeeping and all of the, you know, scheduling the meetings with other busy people who are trying to build businesses or have already done it and got full schedules. And there's just so much that needs to be done. And so they think they have to do it all themselves. And that is not true. And that is one of the biggest things that will hinder them and keep them small is by not bringing on people to their team who are subject matter experts in their field so that they can be freed up to go and have those strategic meetings. And they don't have to worry about what's happening back in the office because it's all handled by the people who are talented and gifted in those particular areas.
Yeah. It's interesting because we actually tend to use the word entrepreneur to kind of justify this. It's kind of like when you say I'm an entrepreneur, you're kind of saying I'm doing this myself. I'm taking on the world, you know, on my own. And we can inadvertently get trapped here. But one of the things that makes this kind of mechanically really, really difficult is money. And the idea that like, hey, I'm barely making payroll and it's just me. How in the world am I going to make payroll with somebody else on the dime? So what do you say to someone who's struggling with just the financial aspect of getting the help that they need?
Well, first of all, entrepreneur doesn't always mean solopreneur. Okay, yeah. There's a big difference. And just because it's you and you're trying to make ends meet for yourself just now, you're still in the beginning stages. It's expected. It's understandable. But just like you're building a budget for all of your project materials or all of the different resources that you need to build the widget that you are in charge of building for your business, you need to add a line item for administrative support, for marketing support for whatever that looks like. Because when you take yourself out of that picture of having to handle those things, you have more time. It's like you're buying time for yourself to go and do the things that really do move the needle. So you don't have to hire somebody full-time. A full-time salary, yes, that can be inundating. That can be daunting. That could be, you know, several thousand dollars a month or a year or whatever that looks like. But when you hire a company that will offer you an opportunity to hire somebody for 10 hours a month, that it can be doable. That is much easier entry into that support field. So look, a company like ours definitely starts at hours at 10 hours a month, 20 hours a month, 40 hours a month. That's, you know, 40 hours a month is 10 hours a week. So if you don't have a whole lot to give, but you just know that what you have right now is too much for you, call us, call a company like ours. We've already done the screening. We've already done the vetting. Our team is already qualified, pre-qualified, and tested to know that what they have to offer you, they can hit the ground running to make an immediate impact.
Yeah. There's a couple of great points in there. One is, I think we are the most likely in any stage, at this stage, of mistaking our most precious commodity as money and not time. Right. And so this idea of buying back your time, I think is excellent and is worth restating. You're so on point with that. The other one, and you kind of allude to this a little bit, but I'm wondering if we could unpack it a little more. And that is that it's not help that you need. It's good help. You need someone who can actually do those things. And one of the things that I've seen keeps folks trapped here is that they actually do go get help, but they get the wrong person. They get someone who it's like they're having to hold their hand every step of the way, or they're just not competent enough to do the job, you know, or they're doing a job that person's not really familiar with, the entrepreneur's not really familiar with. And so they don't know, are they doing a good job? Are they not doing a good job? So tell me a little bit, and to whatever extent you're willing to disclose some of the secret sauce here, but what makes a great admin? What is it about your team that you guys look for and qualify for?
So when someone wants to become a member of our team, and Scott, trust me, we have people who apply who never make it. And it's just because they don't have a high enough skill level. And we find this out by testing. We also, one of the things that's super important to me is that our team members share the same values that we have as a company, so that they know how I operate, how we treat clients, what our culture is, our attitude of service. And if they don't fit all of those buckets, they don't check all those boxes, they never get to be a part of our team. Once they get through the pre-vetting period and the pre-screening process and that sort of thing, then we're able to dig deeper into them and their actual skills and who they would be the best fit for. So, and that's my job, is to find out who on my team. If I have a client and they share with me, I need this, 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 and this, and or I might need email management, calendar management, and some project management, or I might need a strategic partner to help me, you know, do this application, whatever that looks like. I pick from my team based on that information, who is the best fit for this person. So when you have someone who's a real person fitting you with someone who actually makes sense for you, then it's an easier transition. So and once you get your person or you get introduced, it's so important to discover who they are at their core, you as the client to the virtual assistant, so that you just start to develop a relationship with them, because this is not something that's a one and done kind of thing. Typically, when clients hire us, they want a partner for the long term. They want someone who can see their vision and want to join with them and lockstep on this journey. And that's what we do. Yeah. So it's so important to make sure that that relationship is set up on a foundation of success. And that's one of the ways that we do that, going into the relationship. And then as you continue to share information about what you know, because you may not know everything and you may be bringing them on because of their experience that they bring with them, that is kind of fills that gap. Then the two of you together are working in harmony because they are now filling that space that is needed, kind of like a piece of a puzzle to help you get to that next level.
Yeah. Hi there, this is Scott. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to get back to the show in just a few seconds, but first, I wanted to let you know about my brand new Founders Evolution Quiz. If you're a founder, business owner, or CEO who feels overworked by the business you lead and underwhelmed by the results you're getting, you're doing it wrong. Succeeding as a founder all comes down to doing the right one or two things for right now. So take the quiz today at founderquiz.com. Again, that's founderquiz.com. And in just 10 questions, you can figure out what stage you're in so you can focus on what's going to work and say goodbye to everything else. Now, back to the show. That puzzle piece is a great analogy, but the first time you're going through it, it's hard to know like what are the edges of the puzzle. So what have you found in doing this for so many years now? What have you found are kind of the best jumping off points? What are the things that most entrepreneurs get rid of first or should get rid of first?
One of the things that I found made a huge difference in the life of an executive is email management and calendar management, because they are so busy working on the business, trying to bring in new business. They may miss opportunities because they haven't had a chance to check their 100 emails that come in every single day. And so you'll need someone to make sure you're not missing opportunities, be able to respond on your behalf. And that's the other thing, is that communication on your behalf. So that person that you get matched with should be able to communicate with on your behalf. As you mentioned, not just be a doer of a thing, but actually know what needs to be done and how to handle this situation, you know, based on that time spent with you and being trained in what it is that you need to do. So I think my experience has shown me that when you take off those things, your calendar management and email management off your plate, expense reporting, travel arrangements, all those things, even if they may only take a few minutes for you to do, those are minutes you need to be spending doing things that move the needle for your business.
Yeah.
So it's, if you think about it like this, say you are a $300 an hour entrepreneur and you hire an assistant that's $100 an hour. I'm totally making this up. But would it make more sense for you to be spending your $300 an hour time doing something that someone who gets paid much less can do more effectively and probably quicker and faster and loves doing it?
Yeah. Yeah, the dollar value of time is again, it's just a great way of thinking about it. Like, is that a $15 an hour task? Then, you know, it's just not anything you should be spending any time on. But here's where I see folks get hung up, even once they're kind of like, yes, that's a $15 an hour task, is being good at something doesn't necessarily make you good at making someone else good at that something. And so, especially with something like their email inbox, where there's so many different things that are passing through that one gateway, it can feel overwhelming to even begin to think about how to train someone else to take that on. How do you help your clients to tackle that feeling of there's just so much, where do we even begin?
So one of the things that our clients have done that's been really super helpful to them is taking that time initially to go through the inbox with their assistant, to share with them, who are the important people? Who are the people I want to hear from? What are these different emails? Is this junk? Is this spam? You know, explaining these kinds of things. Because typically you'll start to see a pattern if you sort the box by sender. And so it's easy to identify who those key people are. And so once we have that knowledge and that understanding, it gives us a framework from which to move to know and understand how to manage your inbox. So it's important to take that initial time at the very beginning to let your person know who's important to you. Who are your VIPs? Who are you trying to reach out to? What are some key words that match their industry or their title or their this, that, or the other? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, it does. It sounds so easy. And it really, when you break it down and address it one step at a time, it really is. And to your point earlier in the show, you're buying back time. It's not just doing it that one time. It may take a little longer to explain how you answer an email than to just answer it. But think of the hundreds of emails that you don't have to answer afterwards because you took the time to explain it once. Yeah, fantastic.
So important.
Renee, there's this question that I ask all my guests. I'm very interested to see what you have to say. But the question is this. What is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing you wish every founder watching or listening today knew?
I wish everyone knew that they were worthy of being served.
Wow.
And some people feel like, well, I have to do it all myself, because if it's going to be done right, I have to do it myself. If I can't allow someone else to serve me for whatever reason, if someone else does this for me, then I feel some kind of way. I want them to not feel some kind of way anymore, but recognize that they are worthy of being supported and of receiving help and of getting the support that they need, where they are, and that they will grow and they will get accustomed and used to this feeling of being served, and then they'll start to like it.
That's so good. That's so good. Because it is true. There's this thing about entrepreneurs that there is a service mindset behind them. Like, they do serve. The root of the word entrepreneur is to go between, right? And to serve. But allowing others to serve you in the service of others is so powerful. And it feels pretty great when you get used to it, right? Renee, there's some folks listening and like they're in it. They just finished working all weekend and there's gotta be a better way. What would you say to them? How can they connect with you? How can they learn more about the work that you all do?
So feel free to reach out to us on any of our socials. We're at Executive Help Now. We have a website at executivehelpnow.org. We also have this book called, Well, What Can a Virtual Assistant Do for You? Some entrepreneurs and founders, they're like, I don't even know what to assign to somebody. So if they text the letters VA now to 1-866-943-3591, they will get a freebie that helps them work through that thought process and what options they have available to them.
Fantastic. Fantastic. We'll drop all that information right in the show notes so that you can get it when you're done driving. Don't do it while you drive. We'll get all that in there. So you can just click and go straight to it. That'll be fantastic. Well, Renee, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a privilege and honor having you here with us today. And for those of you watching and listening, you know your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Start, Scale, and Succeed podcast. I hope this episode gave you exactly what you need for your stage right now. If you want to discover what stage you're in, take our 10-question Founders Evolution quiz for free at founderskiz.com. That's founderskiz.com. It'll pinpoint exactly where you are and give you tailored tips to move forward and reach that next level in your journey as a founder. If you got something out of today's episode, would you do us a favor and share it on social media? Just grab a quick screenshot on your phone, text it to a friend, or post it on your favorite platform. Tag us and use hashtag StartScaleSucceed. I'd love to see your posts. You can also head over to scalearchitects.com/podcast to check out more episodes tagged by your stage so you can focus on what matters most right now. Don't forget, subscribe, rate, review. It helps us to reach more founders like you, and it means a ton to me and my team. So let's keep starting, scaling, and succeeding together. I'll see you in the next episode.